Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Hello, and welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
And this is Ellis.
Welcome back to our show. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. Ellis, good to see you, my brother.
My good sister, it's always a pleasure. Oh man.
Yes, it's August. We're getting in the thick of things. This is episode 12. So I wanted to talk about something. I watched this movie. Couple nights ago. It wasn't a new movie. It's about 6-7 years old. It was on Amazon Prime, and the movie was like based, probably had to be based in the 90s because everybody had landlines. And, you know, the girl got a new cell phone, but it was one of them heavy phones that cost way 20 pounds. But it was called Wounded Love. Mm. And that's what I want to talk about. That's our theme for today. So in the show, she was married to this, I mean, like a narcissistic man like you've never seen before. Quite nasty and mean. For example, he pushed her out the car in the middle of one night. They had gone on a date for her to walk home. Yeah. And she ended up getting raped, you know, while she was out in the street. It was like in some really bad area. She ended up getting attacked and raped. And, you know, this guy found her and they became friends. So she went home and her husband accused her of had been out prostituting, you know, but she had been raped. But he was like, anybody rape you, you a prostitute. Hmm. And so she called her dad. And so this is part of why. She called her dad. And because she had called her dad to pick her up, but he didn't answer the phone that night. And so, you know, things happened. So the next day her dad called her. He said, well, I saw you called me late. And he said, he said, what was going on? And she said, her and her husband had a real bad argument and she wanted to be picked up. And so he was like, oh, well, you know, you got to be careful, honey, about what you say, because he bought you a house and a car and he's a good guy. You know, you just got to be careful. And so she was like, Dad, I was attacked. And he said, What were you wearing? You know, it was this thing. And so the subject, Wounded Love, came up for me that this girl was being trained or had been trained by her father to accept this kind of love, per se, where, you know, her husband, you show love by buying these things. He has you in a house and he bought her, she had a Volkswagen Beetle. He had bought her that. But that's how he showed love to her.
So the father taught her to basically base love off of material things?
Basically, I mean, you know, shut your mouth and do what you're told by your husband because he's providing for you. So okay. What, he treats you like crap.
So how is that wounded love? Can
I
ask you that?
I think that's, I call it wounded love because she was wounded by the person, the first person who was supposed to love her, her daddy. Okay. Yes. Okay. And then so because you are beat up in that relationship, you know, we talked about several times carrying trauma from one relationship mm-hmm. to the next. Mm-hmm. But we think about it, we're thinking they're all intimate relationships. But sometimes this trauma that we carry come from relationships within the family, yeah. And which is where hers came from. Her father was a wealthy man. And so he saw, I provide for you, you know, shut up and put up with what I'm dishing out as well. Mm. So yeah. How does this fit? These family wounds is, it carries a lot in how we treat or how we expect to be treated by the people who are chosen, we choose to love us.
As I'm listening, one is that I agree that, you know, our first teachers of love are our family members. And I do think that whatever skewed concept of love we've learned from them, you know, oftentimes we have to unlearn. And I do think when your love has been quote unquote wounded, or just I'll say perverted, and from the standpoint that you think that by giving me something that's love, or you know, I tell my girls, you know, don't think because you give a man your body doesn't mean they're gonna love you. Mm-hmm. Had a situation with one of my children. Some stuff just happened this past weekend. A horrible situation happened. And I was trying to say to my son that you're not her dad. So when she was saying to you, you're not my dad, that means you were making her feel as her dad made her feel. And with the result of that, that's why some things didn't go as you wanted it to go. And, you know, because her love was wounded because of her dad, mm-hmm. how her dad talked to her, how her dad disciplined her. Her dad was always holding over her head in order, you know, for her to get her to do some things. Like, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to pay for your phone. I'm not going to do this. So she was always jumping through hoops. And so I kept asking him, I'm like, how many times has she said that you're like her dad or I'm not your child? She's like, well, she said it. I said, that should have been, you know.
That's a key.
That's a key. That's a red flag. That means something else is going on. And you have to be able to recognize those red flags, because she can't love you in her authentic self because she still has leftover baggage as a result of her father. Mm-hmm. And if you're displaying the same behavior, as she said, same controlling behaviors.
Those are triggers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he thinks it's love, right? Because again, he's trying to love out of protection, but she's like, nah, you're controlling me. So you have to be able to look at that. Mm-hmm. And so him and I have been talking about that. But more importantly, realizing his love is wounded too. So he goes overboard with women because he feels like, you know, his parents didn't love him. They weren't there. He went through some problems. So it's like, well, you can't love her the way she needs to be loved. She can't love you because both of y'all are wounded.
Yeah. And everybody's bringing this baggage. You know, yeah. We all bring baggage into a relationship, right. Whether it's good baggage or bad. Right. It's all bags, right? And so even when you come out of a nice, loving, you know, home, whatever that looks like for you, right? Whatever that looks like, you're going to bring it into your family. Yeah.
I think that is so subtle and it's hard to grasp. Like, where do we get this certain behavior from? You know, it's just wonderful with me and my children, because I can say, hey, you got it from me, you got it from your mom, so on and so forth. But I don't know, for me, it was so much unbeknown to me that I didn't know, because I knew my biological father. And so I didn't know how he thought. I didn't know what he did. Now, at 52, I can understand, I can better convey that to my children. But I didn't know, you know, his behaviors. People had to tell me how he moved and how he acted and how he betrayed himself in relationship, because just I didn't know.
Yeah.
So it's almost, I mean, I think it's almost unfair you enter into a relationship with somebody and you don't know your authentic self. So how can you really get to know them if you don't really know yourself?
Right. So we have to dig into and know who our families are and where we come from.
Yeah. And I think it's even more important for us as African Americans, because so much of our story has not been told, because we don't talk about so much in our family, especially if it's a wound, if it's some painfulness, you know, we're going to gloss over that.
Yeah. Well, they try, a lot of times in families, we try and, quote things that are family taboo.
Yeah.
You know, we try to keep the skeletons in the closet.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to open up the closets, you know, because we need to know who we are and what makes us how we are. I did my 23andMe, and I'm still trying to decipher what all of it means, because it's a complicated read. You know, I don't know. So I was just looking at like, some of these things, like from my maternal lineage, mm-hmm. and like, you know, they said, I can't even tell you the words because, you know, they've like 15 letter words. But it talks about like some things in our DNA. And it says like my DNA, you know, women existed, you know, all these thousands of years ago with my DNA. But now there are some things in my DNA that said it's very uncommon. You know, only like 1 in 4,200 people have some of the traits that I have.
Such as?
I don't know how to say those words. I'll share with you.
It's like you already told me 15 letter words.
Yeah, it's like it's all coded. You know, I need somebody with like
way higher on the pay range than me to decipher this.
Somebody's a geneticist.
Yeah, so I'm reading it and trying to, you know, take it in small pieces. But we need to know why we are. Like, okay, it said that, I do remember this. It said, like, the people were hunters and gatherers. And, you know, so I was like, okay, you know, so I'm trying to equate how is that like me? You know, I'm always hunting.
Always hunting. Spear in hand, sword in the other hand, knife in the mouth.
So it's funny because on another podcast I used to do, I was always saying, you know, people want a certain person. I was like, oh, I'll find it. You know, I'm finding that person. I will find you on Twitter, Instagram. I'm going to find you, and you will be on my show. And so I was like, yeah, okay. I've been stalking. Maybe it's hunting is like the new term.
Yeah, you know, quote, unquote, stalker.
That would be me.
But this thing, you have billions of people in the world, and oftentimes we're out here searching for this, quote, unquote, soulmate. Not understanding that you may be attracting people out of your woundedness instead of out of your hole in your health.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, as we are, we kind of attract people. Like I was meeting with a young lady, and she had said to me the last three men she had dated were physically abusive. And I said, how did you wind up dating three physically, verbally abusive men in a row in less than 6 years? And then you spent a considerable amount of time with them. She said, I'll never forget. I don't know. But my dad beat my mother.
So did she say, okay, if you don't beat me, you don't love me? You know, because that's what like parents would say back in the day. I beat you because I love you. It's like, don't love me like this.
I was like surprised. She says, I don't know, but my dad beat my mother. So, which let me know physical abuse had been normalized in her life long before she was young. She said she was like 2-3 years old. And then her mother's boyfriend came and did the same thing. So she's been around domestic violence all her entire life.
So that's her normal.
That's her normal. And I was trying to say to her, like, hey, you can take a break, you're wounded. And her whole response was, but he loves me. I'm like, but he can't love you if he is beating you and being with other women, but more importantly, he is beating you. Y'all are like scrapping like dogs and cats. Even dogs and cats don't fight their way.
Right.
Once the police get called in, they got to take you both to jail because y'all won't settle down. I said, that is not healthy. Someone is going to die.
And you're creating more woundedness for generations to come after you.
But she was making excuses for it. It was almost as if, you know, well, he's a good guy. I said, I'm not even saying he's a bad guy. All I'm saying is, you may be the bad person.
Well, he can't be going upside your head. or she, you know, whoever is fighting.
I said to her, you are the one who had the history of violence. So, you know, as we were talking about the altercation they had, they all stem from, typically 9 or 10, her smacking him, her giving his face.
So she was used to it.
You know what I'm saying? So she was doing all this stuff. Yeah, but he comes back with the hands. She can't handle the hands. I was like, yo, why would you smack him? Why would you get in his face? Because he wouldn't answer my question. But, I mean, so it's like you are initiating, you know, violence verbally, and you're not a man.
Yeah, you can't beat him.
Like, but again, why stay in those relationships? Because that's not, in my opinion, it's not love. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see how love operates that way. And then she puts on Facebook, oh, I'm never going to love again. Love always hurts. I was like, you're not even telling the whole story. I know the whole story. Mm-hmm. But why would you put that on Facebook? Because that's not accurate. Love ain't hurting you.
Love don't have to.
No.
Them punches hurt.
Right, them punches hurt. But
that's
listen,
not love.
If you hadn't gotten his face or smacked him, you wouldn't have got punched.
That could be true. That could be true.
I read one of the police reports. And in a police report, it said, I hit him repeatedly, spit on him. And it wasn't until I spit on him, that's when he hit me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, you know, I ain't blaming him, you know, because at some point it's defense. And some women, you know, like I might hit you with my hand, it might not hurt you. But if I pick this up and, I, you know, this is going to hurt you,
yeah,
you know.
No doubt.
So I was like, sometimes we fight to hurt,
yeah.
You know.
You know, and I think, you know, it's interesting that you said that, because people always say, oh, a man should never put his hands on a woman. But I was like, I get that. But what about women who put their hands on men?
Absolutely.
And what about women who use their words to cut up a man?
Now, I ain't going to say the words should make anybody
sticks and stones may break my bones. Words do harm us.
They can, but with words, you can walk away.
And I'm not saying the words is a segue for physical violence. But what I'm saying is that if men can't hit women, women should not be putting their hands on men.
Absolutely. I agree with
you. Now, for a man who comes in pummeling and beating on a woman, that's a different kind of animal. But the situation I'm familiar with here recently is that these young girls, you know, she's like, I hit him in the face. I said, and you spit on him? I said, how many times did you smack him? Oh, about 4 or 5?
Yeah, he had enough.
So I want to say to him, why would you stay with someone who's physically abusing you? Like, why would y'all stay together? Because we love one another. No, y'all don't. That doesn't behave that way. Mm-hmm. But if your woundedness is causing that kind of violence, I mean, can you recover from that? I mean, how do you bounce back from that? You know, not just physically, but emotionally, mm-hmm. have a healthy relationship. I mean, it's already tough enough when you have a divorce or separation with the next relationship. Now I got to deal with physical scars and black eyes.
Yeah. And all of that is just add on layers to these wounds.
Yeah.
So we have some deep.
Yeah.
We got some deep cuts, and oftentimes generational, that we're bringing into the fold. How we fix it?
You know, I think I am constantly reflecting on the kind of love I said I had for individuals compared to my understanding of love now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say that I was a candidate of someone who's walking around with wounded love, or loving someone, you know, because you want to save them, or loving someone, you know, basically I want to say control, but always wanted to seem like I was, you know, the dude with the cape, Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, you know, Buddy was talking about that. This is a part of American culture. When you're watching all these movies, you know, with a Cinderella, you want the Prince Charming to come on the horse and, you know, pick you off the ground.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real. But I think that creates, you know, horrible situation in which men want to go in and try to save a woman, because then you're kind of indebted to me. Mm-hmm. And now if you're indebted to me, you owe me something. If you owe me something, you belong to me. And you belong to me, I can do what I want to do because, you know, you're my property. It's that whole kind of supremacy type type love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens. I mean, where does that come from?
Slavery, I think.
From slavery?
I think our concept of love and the control piece has its roots in slavery. Has its roots in slavery. I was saying to my son, you know, he had bought the young girl something. No, he paid for her phone, so he was looking at her phone. And I'm like, well, that ain't your phone. He's like, well, I paid for it. I said, oh, because you paid for the phone, but you can look in the phone.
So he gave her a gift.
He gave her a gift.
And so because he gave her this gift, he feels like that's basically like taking the gift back. If you got possession of the gift and you can treat the gift you gave me any kind of way.
But is that, you know, so I'm like, dude, that is controlling. That is not love. Even though it's her phone, you have no right to be going to look at her phone and see whether or not she's telling you the truth. She's like, I don't think a woman should be looking at a man's phone.
Right.
Or vice versa.
You ever looked in the phone?
Never.
Yeah, I looked in my ex-husband's phone, but it was when he had a stroke.
I'll say this. I was sitting on my couch and somebody I was dating, the phone kept going off. Bing, 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 bing. And so I looked over there and the comment was, you know, you good, you safe? And I'm just like, who's he?
Yeah, who was it? Where he was?
You know, and so typical, you know, dismissive. Oh, it's just a friend, woo, woo. I said, hitting you up at 12:30 at night? Somebody, you good? You, baby, you good? I said, if you saw that coming from me, or my phone from a female, what would you be thinking? And so once that came, I was like, okay, keep your eyes open. Game is about ready to be run.
So
you're running that game. So, you know, and I say that to say, it's those kind of, again, those are red flags. Mm-hmm. Here I am, we're talking how we feel about one another. But are we being serious and genuine when you got a little, you know, a little something on the side? It feels comfortable to hit you up at 12:30 at night. And, hey, baby, you good?
So would you feel better if it was 6:30 in the afternoon? I mean, does the time matter?
You know, I would have felt better not to be condemned for having the same kind of correspondence.
Okay.
And then you have the same kind of correspondence and you can't equate, you know.
All right, so, the same. All right, so I'm going to ask this question, then we got to take this break. So had you had that type of correspondence, you would feel comfortable with her getting that correspondence? Because I don't think it's like that. I think if you're going to feel, if you feel some kind of way about something, it doesn't, how that person feels about your stuff shouldn't matter. Because I know, like in my case, some things that I didn't care about or didn't bother me in my relationship. But if the, when this other thing, when it happened on my end, you know, that person kind of lost his mind. So it's like, nah, it ain't just like that.
I'm going to say this and then we'll go to break. I think hypocrisy or double standard is a byproduct of wounded love.
Ah, I like that. All right, so we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Love Wins with Ellison Benito.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
And we're back with Love Wins with Alice and Benita. So just before the break, Alice was talking about hypocrisy being as a result of wounded love. Would you like to elaborate, Doctor?
Well, I mean, it's been my experience when you come out of situations which, you know, your love has been wounded, you tend to make decisions in a relationship that's going to satisfy or protect you from being hurt. And so it's been my experience in relationship with women that they can do something, I can't do it, and they would justify it. And I'm just like, so where you get that from? Well, in my last relationship, you know, so this is why you think you can justify in this relationship.
Okay.
The two are not compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that oftentimes when we come out of a wounded love, a wounded situation, we go into the next situation with these, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to tolerate that, and so on and so forth, which kind of handicaps the relationship that you're going into, that you want a better return than your last relationship. And I just think we're filled with hypocrisies and double standards, hence the situation I was saying about the phone buzzing. When my phone buzzed, you know, she like, who's that right there? I'm like, yo, this is my homie. We trying to do business. Well, who is she? You ain't have to tell me about her. Oh, but 8 hours later, you know, at midnight, after midnight, your phone going off, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, she was accusing me, oh, you sleeping with her? So who's she? So when she become your homie? So you say everybody your homie. I'm mm-hmm. like, where was spoken? Who you coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that came from. And that could be wrong.
Yeah, but I get that. So I was thinking about something you said earlier. We were talking about some of the ownership is a result of, well, is a part of our impact that we still suffer from slavery. Do you think a woman changing her name to the man's perpetuates ownership?
No.
And why not?
Because I'm a man. Because I'm a man. And I can't speak.
And a double standard.
Well, I mean, I've never thought about that.
Okay.
I've never thought about that. But I'm not taking on a woman's last name.
Why not?
Because I got my own last name.
Okay, she has her own last name. So can she keep her last name?
She can do what she want to do. She's going to be married to me.
Oh, so your woman got to change her last name.
I mean, she ain't got to change it, but, you know, it ain't going to be, you know what? I might not say that. I don't even care if it's hyphen or not. But it doesn't even matter to me. But I guess for a woman, I don't think it dictates ownership, but I could be wrong. I'm not a woman. I don't know how a woman feels about that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm not changing my last name for the next marriage or marriages, depending on how many I got left in me.
Marriage or marriages? Let's hope you only got about one or two.
One or two, right? Yeah, I'm young. So if I'm not changing it, but I'm not changing it not because of any ownership or whatever. I'm not changing it because everything I've done professionally has been with this name.
With Johnson?
Yes.
So why didn't you keep Lewis?
I wanted to move up the alphabet.
Okay. Your facial expression alone, it's like you had your head up in the air. I want to move up the alphabet.
So the L, so I moved up to J. Okay. So if your last name does not end in K, through I,
nah,
ain't changing. There's no absolute chance.
Oh, gosh. Hilarious. Yes. She said, I'm trying to get to the A's.
Yeah,
you know. I'm trying to move on up. You know, we're moving on up.
And, like, now, you know, I have kids with that name. So, right. You know, I want to match my kids. I mean, I just want to keep that name. Now, is it a total deal breaker if I find a man, or a man finds me, who, you know, I absolutely adore and I want to spend the rest of my life with him?
You didn't even sound
like
it.
I can't even
say that. I can't even
say it with a straight face.
Okay.
Can't imagine that. But if I do, because it can happen, would I, you know, is it a deal breaker if he insists that I change my last name? It will kind of be, I probably would keep Johnson as like the professional name. I'll change it on the paperwork and on the social security card, but you ain't gonna be calling me Benita Harris.
Well, you know, so I have a thought on this, and this is gonna be probably chauvinistic and very traditional.
Not from you. Yeah, I'm shocked.
Hey, you know, I gotta be who I be, you know what I'm saying? But I think the whole name change for me, first of all, is very important because I'm a Henderson, you know.
Yeah. Just saying, I'm a Henderson. We know he's a Henderson.
Right, I'm a Henderson, and I don't, you know, if I'm marrying you, so if I'm marrying you, I don't want you bringing your daddy's, you know, your mama's nonsense up to my family. You know, the Henderson lineage is pure. You know, we're purebreds. I'm joking. I am scratching. But that was my thinking. Like, I don't want that last name of my family, you know? Like, I have this thing. I don't wear nobody else's name on the back of my shirt, on my back. Okay. So I went to a family reunion, and my ex was like, yo, you need to put this shirt on. I said, I don't wear nobody else's name. And, you know, we got into a serious argument. I was dead serious. Like, yo, I'm not putting on somebody else's name on me. I'm a Henderson. Because I look back on that now, that was so shallow.
That was so petty.
And petty. And I was completely wrong.
You're a petty Pisces.
I was completely wrong. But it wasn't even about the name. It was about some unresolved stuff I had as it pertains to how I thought she dealt with her family compared to me and, you know, and my family.
Okay.
And that wasn't on her, that was on me. And I think, again, because we have bad experiences in relationships, we carry some of that pettiness over to the next relationship.
We do.
And you have to be intentional to get it out of the relationship so the new relationship can be healthier than your old relationship. So I'm not saying that, I mean, I was guilty of that. Not saying I wouldn't do it again, but nothing wrong with being a little petty here and there.
All right, so what do you think about this concept? All right, so if you're getting married,
you know, the premise is we're coming together as one.
Right.
Okay, you are not your mama's baby anymore. She is not daddy's baby anymore.
Right.
Why can't y'all just form a new last name? A whole hyphenated name?
Oh, not for me.
But why? Because y'all coming together.
No.
You ain't know what, you are no longer. No, you can still be the president of the family union club.
You can still maintain your rights as the resident chair of the
Survivor Union Committee. We are this new unit. Why can't we change our
breath? Nah. I'm not taking on. You, first of all, you know how long it took me to take on my own last name? I got to take on somebody else's? Because to me, wearing your last name is, as I say to my children, you know, like my son may do something like, well, you know, that's your mama's last name. Us Hennessy, we don't do that. You know, that's what y'all do.
See, that causes division. That causes division for your kids. So if y'all came together and had this new last name, and then in the likelihood that we're going to get a divorce, because our track record is likely, we just go back. You go back to Henderson, and you go back to that's whatever.
Straight
I go back to Lewis.
That's straight confusion. I would never, ever, ever, not only not take on another name, but I wouldn't even let another name be connected to my name. I mean, I'm Ellis O'Neill Henderson. Bam, bit, boom, good enough.
So my daughter's name is Navy Lewis Johnson. It's not hyphenated. Lewis is her middle name.
Oh, you call it Lewis?
Navy Lewis.
Yeah. Navy Lewis. And that's unique. So I've been trying to say to my children, you know, you need to make sure that, you know, my name, Alice, is in there somewhere, you know. So if you have a little girl, it's got to be at least, you know.
Alice. You already got the last name. You're just like being ridiculous with this.
Yeah, I want it all.
Yeah. Dear listeners, if you want a quite selfish, ridiculous man, hit me up and Love Wins with Allison Bonita.
That'd be me.
I'd be happy to. I'll pay for shipping. I'll get them to you.
You know, but the thing is, at least you know what I'm saying. Like, I ain't come with no okie doke. This is what it is, you know. But with that being said, does it make sense? Of course it doesn't make sense.
Come with the okie doke. It might be better for all of us.
Of course it not. Doesn't make sense. You know, but I'm entitled to my sister's theories and thoughts and opinions. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just, it's just 100. But I do think we take for granted the importance of our last name. Like, I know where my last name comes from. I know how we got it. I know where my ancestors come from. So people are like, oh, it's a slave name. You know, you call it what you want. My name ain't Hubuku. I don't have an African name, you know, and I don't have a problem with people who do. But I'll never forget, a friend of mine was changing his name. He's like, you should change your name too. I'm like, you're low, so I'm not changing my name. So he changed his name because he was, you know, down with Islam, right? Mm-hmm. He was in the military. Last I heard, you know, he back to his slave name, mm-hmm. his government name. So I'm like, what, go through all that and change your name? You will come right back to who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, you know, to me, it's important for me, except because my grandmother raised me this way, that I'd be proud of who I am no matter what we have and so on and so forth. But, now, think about it, that pridefulness came out of some woundedness because we were always looked down as being the poor people in the family, the poor people in the neighborhood. And so she wanted us to have pride because the people in the neighborhood didn't respect us.
Okay.
So the only way we could have pride is you and Henderson. Oh, we dirt poor now.
Yeah, but you pride. You're prideful. You stick your chest out, right? You walk the chair up.
But that's a byproduct of that wounded love and mistreatment and how we were treated in the neighborhood.
I hear that.
So,
all right. So let me be clear. You ain't down.
No. I ain't down with no names. No hyphenated. You know. No
merger.
No. Johnson, Lewis, Henderson, hyphenated. Crooked letter. Humbug.
I'm sorry, this is new. This is how it should be. We should merge names. So when it's over, you just go back to your name.
Coincidentally, I do know a white couple in which he took on his wife's last name.
Hmm.
And I thought that's
cool.
What
was her last name? Rockefeller?
No.
Because I'm thinking the only way a man would do it is if her last name means something.
Man, I would. What kind of man? I would never do it. I would never do that. I mean, but hey, people can do what they want to do, but I would never even think about it. Matter of fact, just on a mere suggestion, I'm gonna call up my female cousin. Come down and give this a smoke.
Whatever. Beyonce could be like, you could be my husband. Your last name knows. He'd be like, yes, Queen B.
Now, Sade, I do.
Ellis, I do.
I do.
Sade, Anita Baker.
We should be moving up the alphabet too.
Mr. Baker? I got a do and Baker.
You at the top.
Can I marry both of them? Mm-hmm. Anita and Sade.
You know, I'm okay with that.
I was asking, you know. Oh, goodness. I'd be paid for show.
Yeah.
Sing it to me all night long. One singer, you know, one serenading. Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That'd be kind of confusing.
You'd be all right.
I'd be like, so am I Mr. Adu or Mr. Baker?
You whoever they want you to be.
No, I can't do that. That's too much like control.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm rebellious.
They gave you their names.
How much are they going to give me? I mean, are they going to tax the name? You know?
Oh, you want fame and money.
No, just the money. I don't need the fame. Just give me them dollars.
So crazy. All right, so we need to take another break, and we'll be right back with Love Words with Ellison Mania.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music, the intersection of music and culture.
And we're back with Love Wins with Ellison Benita. Remember to check us out on our Facebook page with the title of our show, as well as hit us up on email if you have questions or comments at lovewinswithellisonbenita@gmail.com. You can also comment to whatever platform you're using to listen to this podcast. Thank you to Black Talk Radio Network for having us, and thank you to Three Guys Talking Smack and Listen to Music radio show on Live 365 for all that you do to make our show happen. So I want to start a question segment this week in our podcast. So if you have questions that you'd like for us to ask, hit us up on Facebook or email or comment in the show. So this one, if you're on Facebook, you've probably seen this in different feeds over time. So because I've seen this a few times, and it's always interesting looking at people's answers. All right, so an individual, it usually says a man, but I'm going to take the sexism out of it. The individual has a spouse and a lover on the side, or two women, or two men. They got two people that they're involved with. One person, they tell the truth to. The other person they lie to. Who do they love the most? Alice is thinking.
Say it again.
Do you lie to the woman that you tell? I mean, who do you love the most? The woman you tell the truth to or the woman that you lie to?
Well, you know, I've always been told that no one is important enough for me to lie to, right?
Mm.
So if you're lying to someone, they must be important.
Okay.
Because you're trying to either protect something or cover up something.
Okay. So you're not trying to lose that one.
Obviously not. You okay. Know?
But they say the truth shall set you free.
From who?
No. I'm just saying they say. I got to call they and see what they meant.
And honestly, I'm a firm believer that the truth is the best way. Because one, I know I forget.
Yeah, I'm gonna forget too.
So I'm just gonna tell you what it is, how it is. So I won't forget that. But I think when you get caught in those situations, I tell people all the time, because I've gone through it, you're gonna get caught. Because you cannot, first of all, men are the worst liars. Worst liars. We don't know how to lie. You know, we're just messy, reckless. Women,
look at you.
Look at you dead in your eyes, smile and kiss on your cheek and say, You're going to the moon, baby.
I'm going to the moon.
So y'all just see, because y'all easy. I mean, did y'all just fall for anything?
Yeah, yeah,
well, you know, because I think sometimes it's about what you want to hear. And some people are so
interesting.
What do you want to hear?
So as long
as you're telling me what I want to hear, I'm going to believe you, because that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that you're not cheating on me. It's like he said he ain't cheating on me. That made me feel good when you said it. So that's what I'm going to believe. Even though I see the panties in your pocket. I see it. It's coming out of the pocket.
So isn't that called cognitive dissonance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So an individual is basically saying, tell me what I want to hear. Like, you can't handle the truth. Let me tell you that I ain't cheating on you.
Yeah, I ain't cheating on you.
But women always say, I can handle, just tell me the truth. I'm like, why gotta tell you what you already know? If you already say I'm cheating, why
is that your
you?
Oh, that's your way? That's how you do this.
I mean, you said I'm cheating.
Oh, ooh. I need to get all the women you dated. We need to have a class. I need to teach y'all if y'all fell for this.
Please. Hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so mad right now.
It's almost like, if you say I'm cheating, why I got to tell you what I'm doing? Because you know everything. You know, but women are notorious for going to a phone, getting all this information, then come ask you a question. I'm thinking, why you got to ask me a question if you know everything?
You got all the information.
Why you got to ask me? So what?
You know what? All right, so I'm going to ask this follow-up question. And I want our listeners, y'all need to chime into whatever pieces of this you want to chime in on. What do you feel about omission? Is it a lie if you don't tell things?
Listen, what you're not going to do is have me divulge all my secrets up on here.
Okay, I will go ahead and say what I have to say. So I used to, I've had a situation where they felt it was a lie because I didn't tell certain things.
Was it a lie?
No, because I feel like I answered what you asked.
Okay, so if you ask me a question and
then you don't tell me the truth, then that's a lie.
No.
But if I don't ask you.
But if you ask me a question, I answer the question. Like someone said, did you sleep with her? No, I didn't sleep with her.
Because you didn't go to sleep? Is that your solution?
I was in the bed. I ain't go to sleep.
Then you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. No. That dog don't hunt.
Or someone said, oh, did you make love to her? Of course I didn't make love to her.
So you got to be specific.
You got to be specific if you want. I mean, that's how I was raised, right?
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
Did you have relations with this woman on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock?
Oh, we got to be granular with it.
3 o'clock? Yeah, 5 o'clock. Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Oftentimes, people get upset if you don't answer the question. But my thing is, the question that you're asking doesn't apply to me. You have to ask me what you want me to share. Don't be beating around the bush. I'm not gonna fall prey to that. Mm-hmm. Because if you know everything, why did I tell you what you already know?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes they want you to confirm what you already know. It's like you know something, right? Let's say you know the earth is round, because that's what we found that out. We read that in a book somewhere, right? Mm. But to confirm it, we want some evidence. So sometimes we come into you for the evidence.
One of my favorite episodes is on Seinfeld, when George Costanza says, it's not a lie if you believe it. So,
okay.
If I believe my lie, is it really a lie?
No, because it becomes your truth.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So, but you got to believe. So in order for it to become your truth, because once it's your truth, and we talked about forgetfulness. Once it's your truth, you're not going to forget it because it's your truth. It has become your truth. So you're not going to forget it.
Now, it's funny that you said that, because I used to work with sex offenders, and the therapist will always say that no matter how distorted the story is, this is his truth. and you cannot coerce him out of his truth, though you know it to be a lie, mm-hmm. because it's going to cause him to be combative. As we used to always tell our staff, you know, don't back somebody into the corner. Because if you know they're lying, why do you want them to tell you that they're being dishonest when we already know they're lying? Because mm-hmm. we don't get anywhere. I think that's what happens in relationships. We get so caught up, I want to hear the truth. Tell me that. Well, you know, let's talk about what you found out first. You know, let's start there. So why I got to confirm what you found out?
How about we just say start here? We ain't gonna talk about what I found out. I just want to know if what you said match what I already
what
know.
I found
yeah,
out.
Yeah, right, let me right, see what you right. said match what I
so,
know.
So typical, you know, woman 101. Woman 101 want to see if you lie. You already know he lied. You already know. what do you want him to confirm the lie? You already know that he's telling.
But sometimes the story is the best part. I like to laugh. And just because I'm not laughing out loud, I'm laughing in my head when I'm listening to your story because I already know this is a lie.
See, and that's the worst place to be in. Uh-huh. When you got to tell somebody, or you got to verify your lie. Mm-hmm. Then you get the stupid question. So why'd you lie? Why'd you rain outside? Because I didn't want you to know. How about that? Why'd you lie?
Yeah, why you lie? You gotta lie, Craig.
You ain't gotta lie, Craig. You ain't gotta lie. No, it's we cannot handle the truth. We can't handle the truth. And until we can learn to really handle the truth, people are always going to lie. I've learned that in talking to my children. You can tell me anything, I'm not going to trip. Just don't lie to me. So they tell me some stuff, I'm like,
you don't want to know.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, but if you really want them to divulge, you have to provide a platform for people to be honest without condemnation.
That's safe space.
Yeah.
You know, I used to tell my kids too, I can't. You know, tell me the truth, because if something, you get your back is up against the wall, I can't help you when I don't know the truth. I need to know everything so I can fix it or I can handle it.
So let me ask you this. So your husband, boyfriend, whomever come to you and say, hey, I think I'm gonna have an affair. I saw a little something down at the corner. She gave me some eyes, you know, let you know I'm gonna have a little, you know, little 24-hour hall pass.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, that's allowed. He's being honest.
Okay.
And I'm just going to say, what's her daddy name?
See, that's that advice to give back. Like, have you seen the piece when old boys like, yo, I got somebody who come live with us, get in on these bills. And she was like, who? And she's like, oh, you know, such and such. She was like, well, shucks, I got Tyrone coming with us too. He's like, yo, who Tyrone?
Exactly. Don't play that game.
Like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, you don't want to play. Let's play.
Though, who Tyrone? We start saying Tyrone. and you did your job.
Mm-hmm.
So men are kind of foolish in that. Because women are out here being just as deceitful and dishonest. I'm not saying all women. But men ain't ready for that. As you would say, it's no fun when the
rabbit's got the gun. That's right.
The woman got the gun. Shotgun. Right.
It's all
good. AR-47, 9 Glocks.
We're protecting you and us. So our time is up, but this has been a fun show. thank you for listening again. Thanks for sharing. And remember to hit us up on Facebook and email and the comment section of your listening platform. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at Love Wins with Ellis and Benita at gmail.com.